Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. There's one scripture that comes to mind over and over again as we look at the state of Christianity in the world. And that is Revelation 12:9, that Satan the devil, that ancient serpent, is deceiving the whole world. And how great is that deception? Now, a lot of people do not believe that they're deceived. But as we have seen, there are false prophets, there are other Jesuses, there are others who claim that they know God. So how can we find the truth? Because that's what we're looking for. That's what needs to be. Because only the truth will set you free. That's what Jesus said. And only doing what Jesus said and commanded, and what you find in the Bible, is going to give you an understanding of real Christianity. Now, there are many versions that come so very close. We have seen many dividing lines, and the Christian Passover is the greatest dividing line of all, because it's a test by God to see if you really, really believe what he says. Now, here's a very good principle for you to understand. You must believe what God says, what Jesus says, and you must obey. Now, there's a false grace out there which says, well, Jesus came to do away with the law. And they believe in a false fairy tale grace. They believe if you call it Christian, then that's fine. But a Christian, as we saw, is one who follows Jesus Christ, walks in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's important to realize. So we all need to ask ourselves a question. Do we do what Jesus says? Well, how do I know what he said? Well, it's in the Bible. You see, today, living in the end of this age before the return of Christ, we have been given the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, and you need to understand a living principle of truth. Anyone who says you don't have to have any regard to the Old Testament, or that you can keep any day that you want, you can immediately know they are false prophets. Now, we're going to talk about, again, the New Testament Christian Passover, because that is the absolute dividing line between counterfeit Christianity and true Christianity. And it's all based on this one scripture here in Luke 6, that one of the greatest sins that men do is to misinterpret, give a private interpretation, and add to or take away from the Word of God. That's our greatest sin. They don't want to do what Jesus said. They don't want to do what God has commanded. They don't want to believe the Old Testament. They don't want to believe much of the New Testament, yet they claim the name of Christ. So that's how the prophecy has been fulfilled, where Jesus himself said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And we've read the scriptures, the straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few be there that find it. But the majority of people go through the broad gate, the easy way, and they overlook key scriptures. See, because every word of God is true. Now ask yourself the question, do you believe that you're a Christian? Are you really a Christian? Well, we've covered what is a true Christian. You go back and look at the series that we've done on that. Then ask yourself the question, do I believe God to obey his word? Do I believe Jesus Christ to obey what he commands? Because after all, he is called the Lord, is he not? All right, let's read this verse now. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? A lot of people do, but you do not practice what I say. Do you practice what Jesus says? This becomes important for the Christian Passover. And we will see when we're done with the meaning of the Christian Passover from the scriptures itself, then we will see what men have done with their own ideas to destroy, to pervert, to annul the meaning of the true Christian Passover. And therefore, all the profession in the world, remember it says, Lord, Lord. And the account in Matthew, the 7th chapter says, oh, we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out demons. Have you ever wondered why? Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. So he says here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice what I say? We're going to see some words of Jesus concerning the Christian Passover. And then we're going to learn the meaning of those words. And we are going to understand that observing the true Christian Passover the way that it is taught from the New Testament is the covenant relationship between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, let's come back to Mark 14. Now, let's understand this. Jesus had to end the Old Testament Passover. The Old Testament Passover consisted of a lamb roasted, eaten with bitter herbs, and it pictured the salvation of the firstborn in Egypt of the children of Israel. Listen carefully to this. It does not picture their exodus. That came the next day. So it spared the firstborn. Now Jesus is going to institute a new covenant that is a covenant of eternal life, everlasting salvation, based upon faith, based upon belief, based upon obedience to God, based upon loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Verse 22, and as they were eating, probably pretty close to the time that they were done with the meal, Jesus took bread, and the only bread to be used for the Passover is unleavened bread, because that was the command that was given in Exodus, the 12th chapter. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Because you see, without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, without his body being torn and ripped to shreds and disfigured more than any other man, there is no healing physically or spiritually. So this is important. This is the key, most important thing. There cannot be any greater act that God could do than to give up his glory, become a man as Jesus did, after having been born of the Virgin Mary, to live a sinless life, overcome Satan the devil, and to give his life into the hands of evil, sinful, cruel men, the epitome of the baseness of human nature and the evil of Satan the devil. And willingly lay down his life and willingly give himself to save those that he calls. So his body becomes the most important thing. We've already seen that in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And sometime after that, verse 23, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Now let's understand something. Jesus did not extract blood from himself and put it in the wine cup. See, this is only symbolic. One of the heresies that people practice every day and priests pray for every day and tell you that the bread is actually the flesh of Jesus and the wine is actually the blood of Jesus transubstantiated. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more later. So what Jesus is telling us here is that this wine, someone's going to say, "Oh, no, no, it's grape juice." Some will say, "Oh, it's water." Some will say, "Oh, the bread can be any bread. Doesn't have to be leavened." See, this is why you need to take all the scriptures and put it together. Verse 25, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again at all of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Fruit of the vine is wine. Jesus was called a wine bibber, meaning he drank wine. He changed 180 gallons of water into wine. We find that account in John, the 2nd chapter. Furthermore, in the days of Jesus, they did not have refrigeration to preserve grape juice. So it was wine. Now, the blood of the covenant. Now, you need to understand how important that is. This is the greatest covenant that you can enter into in this life. Is the covenant between you and Jesus Christ for eternal life. And so that his sacrifice and his shed blood can forgive your sins upon true and deep repentance. And you have no direct access to God without it. You cannot have the Holy Spirit without it. So this becomes the whole central focal point of what it is to be a Christian. Now let's look at some scriptures. Let's come to Psalm 34, and let's see where there is a foretype of the bread being the body of the Lord, symbolizing it. Because let's go back and remember some other scriptures. Jesus said, and God commanded, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live." So therefore, the body of Christ, as symbolized by that unleavened bread, symbolizes that you live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So every word of God becomes also symbolic of that unleavened bread. The unleavened bread pictures sinlessness. And the Word of God is completely true, with no sin, with no errors. Granted, some of the translations have been really ripped to shreds today, but there are still faithful translations. Now let's come to Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. How do you taste and see that the Lord is good? By tasting the Word of God. How do you do that? By studying it? By making it a part of your thinking? By living by it? And this bread pictures the body of Christ, and the key is this, spiritually speaking, you must have Christ in you. Now let's see how Jesus explains this in John the 6th chapter. Now as we're turning to John the 6th chapter, let's understand something. The Bible tells us very plainly that we are not to drink blood, not to eat any meat with the blood in it, and we are certainly not to eat human flesh. That's why it has to be symbolic. That's why Jesus used bread and wine. We find in verse 4, it says, Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. The reason that John puts in there the Passover of the Jews is because no one but those who lived in Judea and Galilee, who were known as Jews, kept the Passover. But it's really the Lord's Passover. We saw that back in Leviticus 23. Now, he fed the 5,000. That's the first part of the chapter. And the people were amazed that, you know, the bread and fish were coming. Just break off a fish and give some to some of the people who were eating. There were 5,000 there, and the bread. So the people wanted to have this bread from heaven. And they wanted to know what to do to get this bread. So Jesus never answered the question to satisfy them. Verse 32, John the 6th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, that is, the manna that they ate during their trek in the wilderness. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now you see how important that is. And I want you to keep in mind, why call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? So they responded, Lord, give this bread to us always. Well, it's not that simple. Let's see what he said. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall never hunger, and the one who believes in me shall never thirst at any time. Now, this is talking spiritually. Because once you receive the Spirit of God, once you understand the Word of God, once you understand the truth that is here, once you are living by every word of God, as Jesus has said, you're not going to be looking out into other religions, other ways, because you know by the truth of God that his way is the correct way. That's why we emphasize restoring original Christianity for today, because given 2,000 years, men have changed it so much that it's hardly anything like what Jesus actually taught. Notice the next verse, verse 36. But as I said to you, you have also seen me, yet you do not believe. See, this has to be by faith, by belief, And you get to faith and belief by proving from the Word of God what is true. That's why Paul wrote, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread which came down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is even my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now, the Jews couldn't understand this. Oh, this was shocking to them. See, because you need to look at it from the point of view of how the Jews viewed things with their traditions. So, verse 52. Because of this, the Jews were arguing with one another, saying, how is he able to give us his flesh to eat? Contrary to everything that you find in the Old Testament, unless you understand the symbolism of it, you see. Therefore, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. That is the key. We'll focus in on this with explaining more about what men have done with their counterfeits and their substitutes for the Christian Passover. You don't have life in you. If you do not partake of the Christian Passover every year on the 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, in the time and in the manner and in the way that the scriptures show as taught by Jesus and the Word of God, you have no eternal life. That's important to understand. Is that not what Jesus said? Do you believe Jesus? Now, verse 54. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. Now think about this with these arguing Jews who were supposed to be his disciples. How can this be? What sort of strange teaching is this? And you know, from that time forward, many of the Jews who were following him left him. They couldn't understand it. It wasn't given to them to understand. Another lesson. If you disbelieve the Word of God, you will never understand it. Now let's see what Jesus says. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is dwelling in me and I in him, showing the spiritual relationship that we are to have with Christ. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so also the one who eats me shall live by me. Now, I want you to stop and think on that verse, because this is so important in what we are going to cover. Now, I realize that some of these things may come as a shock. Today, people are so dumbed down in the things that they are taught. They take a little bit of scripture here, a little bit of scripture there, mix it in with some songs, and mix it in with a feel-good kind of thing, have a communion, do this, do that, and they're in and out of church in 35 or 40 minutes, and they are gone, and they know nothing of the Word of God. Listen, today, we have the full Word of God, and God says to whom much is given, much is required. Now, to help you understand it, you need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. You can order it, just email us, we'll send it to you at no cost. And I continually remind you of this book, Lord, what should I do? Because many people want to know, what does God want of me? What is true Christianity? And how can I understand the Word of God and the will of God? You see, with Church at Home and with CBCG.org, We have all of these things available for you. We have the most in-depth scriptural understanding going through all parts of the Bible to bring you the truth of the Word of God. So be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. Order these books. We'll send them to you at no charge. And so thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.